thousand years to tell a thousandth of an instant in your love. The greatest words I can imagine, just a fragment of a fraction of enough. Yet my eyes look unto you, not on the body of this death. And in my weakness, Lord, I praise you with this frail and faltering breath. You are magnificent, you are radiant, you're indescribable in your omnipotence. You are incredible, incomparable, and my breathless soul are magnificent. Can this human tongue so earthly and this heart that's so unworthy sing your praise? Yet I know you're right here listening as my eyes with tears are glistening, my hands are raised. And the feeling is breathtaking as you lift me up to you. And the spirit's warm embracing electrifies me through and through. You are magnificent, you are
magnificent. That is so true, and we love him tonight, and we appreciate that he saved us and that changed our lives and give us a great, wonderful grace and all the other wonderful things that the Lord God has done for us. We just thank you, Lord, tonight. Glorify your name, lift you up, and give you all the praise and worship of our hearts, Lord, and of our spirits unto you, Lord. So here we are. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 3rd of September already here. We're going to go into some cooler weather. At least here we are in Montana. So, last week we did not have a program. We didn't have internet, so we didn't have the program last week. But we have changed to a different internet server now. And so we're up again and glad to be with you. And we're going to go ahead and open up with some news tonight. Yeah, the new pro-life law in Texas took effect Wednesday at 12 a.m. A Texas abortion clinic boasts of performing and rushing in to perform and complete a whopping 67 abortions in just 17 hours. That's right, ahead of the implementation of the state's heartbeat bill, effectively outlawing abortion. That's 67 precious ones that will never see this world. They'll never be born here in this earth in the way that it is now, anyway. So that's a tragedy. That's 67, and you say, well, that's only 67, but hey, 67 is 67. What if you were one of those 67? That would have been a tragedy. Your life would have never been on the earth. So, yeah, every 67, every one of them is precious in the Lord's eyes. And every one of them was murdered by the mothers who chose to do such a thing, no matter how they justified it. People justify what they do and think that it's okay in their own eyes. A California teacher who went viral with a TikTok video in which she bragged about removing a United States flag from her classroom, and she had just boasting about it. She's now been removed from that classroom. Multiple news outlets report she was identified as Christian Pitson of Back Bay Monte Vista High School, part of a Newport Mesa school in Orange County. And she has been removed from her classroom and placed on administrative leave, school spokesman said, as our investigation continues, this school spokesman said. But this teacher mocked the American flag and suggested to the students that they should pledge allegiance to the LGBTQ pride flag instead. And well, I'm glad to get rid of her. I hope she doesn't get back in there. Someone like that certainly doesn't have any kind of understanding of life at all, in my opinion. 20 states are suing the Biden administration over the LGBTQ directives for schools and workplaces. They don't want to put up with all those things that have been trying to be shoved down the throat and forced upon them by the Biden administration. So they're suing. More should probably get involved in that. Caleb Kattenbach, raised by three gay parents, vowed to never become a Christian in his lifetime. But in his quest to disprove the Bible, he was determined he was going to disprove the Bible and God as nothing, you know. But in his quest to do that, it left him accepting Jesus Christ and seeing his heart and mind transformed. So praise the Lord for that man. Yeah, he wasn't planning on getting saved. He was planning on disproving the Bible. Over 2,500 churches in Australia urged the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who claims to be a Christian, by the way, to not mandate vaccine passports, right? Warning that it would create an unethical two-tiered society and medical apartheid. I've not pronounced that word quite right, but anyway. So good for those churches standing up anyway. Yeah, good for them. They need to stand up. If they don't stand up, they get run over, right? Oh, yeah, that is so true. So there's 900,000 still without power in Louisiana from the hurricane. That's sad. We pray they'll get their power restored down there. Fauci suggests Americans will need to be triple vaxxed to be considered fully vaccinated. Well, if you've already had two, then you need one more, right? According to him, his suggestion, while Israel, who has really pushed the vaccination and has one of the highest vaccine rates in the world, has now a super high COVID rate, and the vaccinated are the ones mostly that are getting sick. Yeah, and that's something. While former Pfizer VP warns that booster shot is about an extermination weapon to mass murder humans. That's what he said. Former Pfizer VP, I guess vice president, is warning people And a study says that vaccinated people were 27 times more likely to get a COVID infection than the unvaccinated. Well, that, you know, that ought to tell people some things right there. You know, if people are listening, I don't know if they are, but that's what this study has found. Now, in Chicago, where the school district is mandated everyone involved there gets a vaccine, 90 Chicago area school bus drivers quit their jobs at the end of August over the vaccine mandate, with 70 of them all leaving on the very same day. They will not comply. They know better than to put that stuff into their body, and they're not going to comply with the mandate, so they just walk off. And so who's going to take all those kids to the government school to be brainwashed? I'm glad they walked off. Bless them. Yeah. People need to take a stand against tyranny. Are you going to be tyrannized and terrorized? If people don't stand up for what's right and believe the word of God and declare things boldly as men and women of God, then the enemy will try to prevail against us. But in Jesus' name, the enemy does not prevail against us, and we prevail against the enemy. We need to remember that, and we need to stand fast in our beliefs and in faith, knowing that the Lord is more than able to take care of his children. So, Father, we just want to thank you right now that you're going to take care of your children, Lord, that you're going to take care of each one of us, Lord, that we are precious in your eyes, Father. And no matter what situations and circumstances each one of us may be facing today, Father, we thank you that there is a divine answer, a divine deliverance, a divine set free situation, Lord, waiting for us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that we'll have it. And the enemy will not prevail against us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for victory over all the power of the enemy today, Father. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We believe your word. We stand on your word, Lord. And we just thank you for ministering to each and every listener of this broadcast, Father, that they will be ministered to. And they will be blessed by you, Lord, who made heaven and earth, Father. We thank you for your mighty power, Father, right now in Jesus' name. We ask you to just cover the broadcast right now. We cover it and ask you to cover it. With the blood of Jesus now, we as priests apply the blood over the broadcast, and we thank you that, Lord, it be a blessed broadcast, Father. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can keep our eyes on Jesus, Lord, and that we can receive from heaven, Father, that we will be seeking you with all of our hearts in these days that we're living in that have seemed like no other days we've seen. And, Lord, we know that you are with us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, and that you are a mighty man of war, Father. You're a mighty help in time of trouble, Father. And we all face some times of trouble, Lord. So I thank you that you're with us in those times of trouble, and you bring us through them, Father. We give you praise for that. We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for the time that we've been given to share together tonight in the Word and some deliverance time afterwards. We thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and share your word again, Father. I should bless every listener, encourage them, strengthen them where they're at right now and what they're dealing with, Father. Strengthen them and make them strong in you and the power of your might, Father. We praise you for that. And thank you for moving tonight mightily. Thank you for fresh anointing, fresh oil. And, Lord, a word for the hour, Father, a word that people can get what they need out of, Father, in Jesus' name, as you, the Holy Spirit, teaches and you bring forth what you want said, Father. And I praise you for that. I give you the glory for it. Now, in the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Amen. So I realize that this is a holiday weekend, and some people have already taken off on their holiday. Yeah, so off they go, right? And some people may not be in here tonight because they're doing something, camping out, getting their last camp out before the cooler months begin to set in and all the other things. But thank you, those that are listening live tonight. We appreciate you and just ask that you would be blessed in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for blessing them. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God here. If you're ready, I'm ready. And we're going to get into living right in these times. Because we are living in some times indeed, right? Times like maybe we've not seen. So, yeah, we haven't. So, let's look at this and get started with it. You ready? All right. Some folks walk or suppose walking with God is allowed to become so intense that there's no joy in their lives. And you got to say, you know, I mean, Satan's supposed to be under our feet, but sometimes we got to ask, well, who's under whose feet? The way some Christians are living, I mean, it's a chore, not a joy to them to be a Christian. And God would have our walk to be more than a chore, more than a drudgery, more than just a job, a real hard deal to walk in. God would have it to be better than that. God would have it to be more than that. In fact, he told us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, I thank you for that joy right now. I just thank you for the refreshing of the joy of the Lord right now. We need it, and we'll receive it. Deuteronomy 28:13. It says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do all them. Right. So that's talking to them under the Lord. So the blessings, though, still are. Under the law, that is. We're not under law. But the blessing here is still ours, that we're the head and not the tail, and above only, and not be beneath. So we're to be above. We're to be the head. We're not to be the tail. Now, a lot of people try to make you the tail. They try to stomp all over you. A lot of demons do, and a lot of devils do. But we're to be above and not to be beneath. But I have to ask you this, because for many, it is true. Who's under whose feet, right? I mean, this could be why you have no joy, why it's such a chore sometimes. So are you under Satan's feet today, or is Satan under your feet? See? Are you under Satan's feet? Are you helpless in your fight against these things that you don't want to do? Is the enemy able to toy with your emotions and with your mind? Usually when we think that we have everything under control, well, we're under Satan's feet. Why? Well, because unless God is in full control, the adversary has an advantage over us, whether we're aware of it or not. So are you living a life where it is so difficult that all you want to do is just, you know, come up for air once in a while to try to survive? Every day is a struggle. Joy is taking the last boat out, and all that's left is despair and discouragement and pain and misery. Well, listen, you've been living under Satan's feet. You've been living under demons. Remember, he knows that we have a God-given authority over him. The devil knows that. And to put him under our feet, yeah, he knows that we have that authority to do that. So like always, he attempts to twist and counterfeit things and put you under his feet instead, and that's not where you belong. So we have to say, you know, watch out, devil. We don't want to be under your feet, so we're going to take the upper position here. But a lot of Christians are. They're in that position. Another question is, Jesus under your feet? What do you mean? You say, oh, no way, you say. For one reason, you might be living under Satan's feet, is because you've trampled on Jesus, like it says in Hebrews chapter 10. And there are some Christians who have done this, because it wouldn't be in the Bible that it's a possibility if someone hasn't done it. Now, I'm not saying you've done it, and I'm not saying it's very likely that anybody listening to this program tonight has done it. But there are some Christians who have. Okay? Well, Hebrews 10:26, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. See, some people, they just have got the knowledge of the truth, but they're just going on with their life, and I'll give you an example of that in a minute. But and then jumping to verse 29, it says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So, yeah, there are some people in that position. Does that mean if you slip up sometimes and you sin sometimes, there's no forgiveness? No, that's not what it's talking about. No, this means if you're deliberately keeping on in a certain type of lifestyle and sin after you've been saved and tasted of the grace of God and the things of heaven, you continue to live as a sinner instead of as a saint. A homosexual, for example, accepts Christ but refuses to act any different. Even though the Holy Spirit has been convicting him and convicting him, it was wrong. But after a long while, it's possible for their heart to get so hard that the Holy Spirit will no longer convict them in an area of their life. And so they can do despite to the Spirit of grace, see, and even fall away and go, and bring Christ an open shame if they try to, get saved again once they've done that. I mean, it's very likely they won't try, though. 1 Timothy 4:1-2, now the Spirit speaketh expressively, then in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So this is what can happen. And it doesn't happen to the majority, I wouldn't say. It doesn't happen to the majority of Christians, but it does happen to some because they choose for it to go that way. Yeah. And if it goes too far, then you will even begin to justify your behavior and keep on justifying it, even using scripture to do so. A lot of people twist the scripture to make it say what they wanted to say. I mean, people do not disregard the Bible because the Bible contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them, right? Now, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. But when your conscience is seared, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to, like David and Jonathan were lovers, or that Jesus was a homosexual. This is sort of some of the things that people are saying, and they get their conscience seared, and they no longer have the Holy Spirit in them. So do not trample on Jesus. Do not insult the Spirit of grace. Enjoy grace, but don't insult it, right? Amen. I live under grace, but I don't insult grace. I'm not going to continue living in some manner of life that is anti-biblical, anti-word, and just keep on doing it forever and thinking I could just do that, get away with it, and just, still be saved no matter what. That's kind of what a lot of once saved, always saved people do, isn't it? Yeah. Number three, I tell you, is Satan under your question? Third question, is Satan under your feet? Is Satan under your feet today? A big part of turning things around is recognizing that Jesus has broken the bonds, the chains of sin off of your life, and that you have available freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus, each one of us. We have that available, whether we walk in it or not. That may be a different thing, but, the fact of the matter is every bit of it is available to you right now as a believer in Christ Jesus. It just may be that you're not walking in it because you're not knowledgeable about it, but for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Remember that scripture? I've used it a number of times. But folks, sin is alive and sin is the enemy. And he no longer has dominion, which should mean that you're no longer a sinner. You may sin at times, but you're not a sinner now, right? The Bible says that to the saints in Christ Jesus, right? So we're not a sinner. I mean, you go around calling yourself, I'm an old sinner saved by grace, but see, that's not biblical. It's not accurate, all right? If you keep saying that about yourself, because that's not what God says about you. Now, Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So sin's desire is for you. But you now should rule over him. Him is alive. Him is not just a thing, but hey, sin is included by demons, included with demons. Demons are included with sin. Evil beings, demon entities. You are to rule over them. That means he is under your feet. There's a verse, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, that word wrestle refers to an ancient custom where gladiators who were trained to kill were put into an arena until someone killed somebody, right? And it could be very close combat as well, see. And this is not at all like our heavyweight boxing or our WWF, which is most of that WWF is fake anyway, you know. A lot of people thought that that's real, you know. At the beginning, I thought it was real too. And the people told me, oh, that's fake, right? Okay, yeah. But see, nobody gets killed, nobody gets damaged in that because it's fake. But see, that's not the way it was. Gladiators fought to the death, and they had close combat and sword combat and up-in-their-face combat. They did whatever they could to kill one another. And this is the word that's used to describe the war that we're all in. And we better recognize that we're all in it right now, or we're going to get the worst of it, see? And we don't want the worst. We're going to have the best. We're going to have Satan under our feet, see? Amen. Not us under his feet. So, the ancient tradition of the gladiator was for the victor to stand up and stand upon his opponent's chest and put one foot upon the man's throat and then twist his heel until the opponent's neck was broken. That's pretty ruthlessly violent, right? And we've watered this war down too much today. We want a nicey-nice, non-bloody type war, but that is not the reality that we see in the Word of God. That's not the reality of the Scripture. So let's go to Psalms 18, verse 40 here. Psalms 18, verse 40, if you happen to be looking them up with me. It says, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. Who's the enemy right now that Satan is using against you? We just put our foot on the neck in Jesus' name. Because you've given us the neck of our enemy. And, of course, it's spiritually, it's demonic demons and angels, fallen angels. So we put our foot on their neck in Jesus' name. And if they're using people, then the people will not be able to prevail either in Jesus' name against you. Amen. Amen. So, praise God for the authority God gave us. Yeah, do some neck breaking, folks, in the spirit, and it definitely will affect the natural. Once you do it in the spirit, it will affect the natural. And so all things will be bound and will be under Jesus' feet, though. You know that, right? All things, everything but death is under there right now. So 1 Corinthians 15:24, we can see that scripture about that. I'm going to read that to you, 15. Verse 24 through 27, I'm going to read to you. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. So if anything is for sure, this is for sure, thanks. I mean, you could take this to the bank, so to speak, even though the banks is corrupt too. But even Satan himself will one day have to bow down his knee to Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. That would be a glorious day, right? And it is our hope. And something true and something sure to give us great joy and hang on to in a troubled and dying world that we're living in right now. See, so brothers and sisters, who is under whose feet in your life right now? Are you right now under Satan's feet in some way? Are you his puppet? Does he know how to pull your string right now? Does he torment you and keep you from joy right now? Maybe right now you need to cast some kind of a care on the Lord right now. He said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Right now, what's bothering you? Let's just take a moment and cast those cares on the Lord. Just take it and give it up to the Lord and throw it at his feet right now. Cast it on his on him. He said, cast them on him because we're not designed to carry such a load as what the devil's trying to put on us. See? But we cast those things on the Lord. We cast it on the Lord. We cast it on the Lord. Right now, just speak to it. Whatever it is, speak it out loud. Say, I cast you on the Lord right now. I cast you on the Lord right now. I give it to you, Jesus. I'm not going to carry this weight. I'm not going to carry this burden. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cast it on him. And let him take it. You quit trying to carry that horrible load. It's not for you to do. Amen? Amen. So, yeah. Some of you are so depressed and feel so hopeless sometimes. He's trying to keep you from your joy and keep you from your peace. And do you laugh and put on a happy face in public, yet you're so miserable inside because of what you care and what's going on inside of you? Because of the cares of this life? You got to take another time and take another moment. Just cast them on the Lord again until you really can leave them at it. Leave them at Him, in Him, and not on you. Amen? You don't need to carry that stuff. Okay? Are you treading on the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of grace? If God is dealing with you, respond correctly to that. And don't live in denial and deception. Have you submitted yourself to Jesus as your Savior and Lord in every area of your life? If not, you can do that too now. That'll help. Lord, just do it right now. Jesus, I submit to you as my Lord and Savior. I yield to you. You are my Lord and Savior. I confess it. You're my Lord and Savior. Not just my Savior, but my Lord of every area of my life. I give every area to you. See? Amen. Just do that right now if you haven't. So what are you waiting for? For those unsubmitted demons to consume you? Yeah. The enemy will get in those areas and mess you up because, hey, they are unyielded, and you're in their territory if you're unyielded. Right? Well, let's go to Matthew 21 and look at something here. Matthew 21. And we'll read verse 44 of Matthew 21. It says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Oh, my. You hear that? You think about that. It says that he who falls on this stone, Jesus is the stone, of course, the chief cornerstone, will be broken to pieces, but he whom it falls on will be crushed to powder. I mean, hey, if you haven't fully fallen on Jesus, it's time to fall on Jesus. Jesus, we fall on you right now. We fall, and you break us and make us into what you want us to be, Father. But it's done in a gentle manner. It'll cause us to be, it's love. See, you have a chance to be broken before the Lord. Changed by the Holy Spirit can take place. See, if you humble yourself, He'll exalt you. He will help you put that sin out of your life, those demons, strongholds. He'll expose them and help you get rid of them. He will destroy and break the heavy yoke off your life, off your neck. When you get serious with God, He'll get serious with you. So many. Yeah. So many of us, we fail to see the seriousness of the battle that we're in right now and to take things too lightly. I think that some of us have taken things too lightly. We should be taking them so lightly. Hey, we're in a spiritual conflict that will continue until that devil is bound for 1,000 years, right? I mean, the heart of man is desperately wicked. No matter how nice people may seem to be, the potential is within them to manifest evil. And it does happen, especially if they're lost people, right? But even the righteous have the potential to go off into evil. That's why we need to remember that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. I mean, there is gross darkness in every unbeliever. The Bible says gross darkness will cover the earth. She'll cover the earth. You don't have to look too far to see that gross darkness either, do you? Just look around. Yeah, there are some places where people have prayed more and done more spiritual warfare over a place and a region, a city, and a neighborhood, and there's much more freedom. But there's other places, man, you can just feel those demons in those areas. You can feel the strongholds. You sense the demonic and the strength of those wicked spirits that they have dug themselves in deep, and they think that they own the area that they're in. Other places, there's more freedom spiritually. Someone paid the price spiritually. Someone prayed. Someone's done warfare. Someone stood in the gap for the land. Yeah. But see, unless that freedom is maintained, the devils will attempt to move back in and take their dominion again. They'll take their dominance back if they get away with it, if there's no resistance to them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those places where there's no spiritual price has been paid. There's so much darkness spiritually And the battles, I mean, if you even recognize what's going on, it's much more fierce, and life is much more difficult in those places. I remember I visited a town just recently, a man was there, got talking to me, and we shared for, somewhere around that. And before long, he said he owned the building, and he wanted me to come and start a church there in his town. He said all the churches are dead there. And he'd been to all of them. And he said, it's dead, so dead. And, I'm sorry, I'm already presently engaged, right? I can't do that unless God said to, and he didn't say to. So, but I just get an insight into his community there with him sharing these things with me about it. And he has the building, he has the facilities and everything, but there's just no one is doing what he wants done there and what he'd like to see. And there's some tragedies there that people share a lot of things, but I don't think I should share them on air. But anyway, yeah. So someone's not paying the price there spiritually, obviously, in that community. Obviously. So anyway, yeah, it's important that we gain the recognition of the necessity of praying and spiritual warfare and praying for one another too. You know, I mean, you look at a game, you know, a lot of these sports games, and we see in the last minutes of the game what happened. Things get very intense. And see, we're in the last minute of this. Right now, we're in the last minute of the last days. We're getting into these last times here, and people are on the edge of their seats. The score has been close the whole game, seeing this game, and every play counts, and people in the stands are going wild, right? And this is a sports game, too. I'm going to give you an example up here. But we're also, and this is not a game. This is life and death, what we're involved in. But I see there's some parallels here. So let's look at this for a minute. Picture this. At the very beginning of the game, if one of the fans was jumping up and down and screaming at the top of their lungs, go, 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 get them, guys, get them, kill them, or whatever, you know, people would say, uh-oh, this guy's kind of strange here. You know, we sat in the wrong place or something, you know. You don't act like that at the beginning of the game. But, hey, when it comes down to the final moment and everything is intensified and every play counts, and listen, we can learn some things from the end of a sports game. Number one, remember, every play does count, and we're living in the last days, and every play counts, and we are nearing the end of this whole scenario, and Jesus is going to come back. The final showdown is coming, and we need to be stirred. We need to be shaken up. We need to be awakened, and we need to be recognizing that we are not at the beginning of this sports game. We're not at the beginning of this whole thing with Jesus and eternity and the devil and us. Amen. And every play needs to count for the kingdom of God. And we need to take advantage of every God-given opportunity to share the word of God and to pray for people and cast out devils, to bind and loose, do spiritual warfare. You know, as the Lord leads, we can't do the whole thing. None of us individually. But that's why we have the body of Christ. There's a lot of us that could be praying and fighting. We could fight a faith here and engaging this thing. And so in a game, as the pressure intensifies, it separates the champion or the sheep from the goat. Yeah, let's go to 2 Thessalonians real quick here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. It said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there's coming a falling away here. So when the pressure is increased on Jesus' people, the Christian, it said that many quit following him, his disciples. Remember, when the pressure increased on Jesus, many quit following him, and it's the same way today. When the pressure is increasing out here, some people are going to quit following the Lord. Some people are going to fall away. You know, I didn't expect this, man. I'm out of here. This is too much for me. See, I'll tell you, in the last minutes of the game, when the pressure is on, the goats collapse, and the true sheep emerge in the glory of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord. And if you find it so difficult to be a Christian and you want to quit, then you're trying to serve him in your own strength right now. And you can't do it in your own strength. We've got to call upon the name of the Lord. We've got to call upon his strength right now. We've got to have Jesus right now. And when you really love him and draw your strength from him, it's not hard to follow him. It's not hard to be his disciple. Instead, it's a joy and a pleasure, right? Remember the little story about the little 10-year-old girl who was carrying her 9-year-old brother, who was way bigger than his 10-year-old sister. Yeah, that boy was bigger than his sister, but when he fell and he scraped his knee kind of badly, the sister picked him up and carried him home. An old man came walking up and said to the girl, "You know, young lady, put that boy down. He's too big for you to carry." But the little girl said, "No, sir, he's not too big for me. He's my brother." And see, when you really love one, it's not hard to serve them. She loved her brother. We love our Lord, and he loves us. And we should love one another. We should serve one another, love one another, pray for one another. Amen? Folks, if you can't serve God today, things are not going to get easier a year from now. Did you ever think about that? If you can't follow him now, if you can't walk with Jesus now, what are we going to do a year from now when things are not much easier? They're much worse. As time gets shorter, things go faster and quicker. It's going to be more and more intense because we're almost at the end of it. And it's going to get hotter. The kingdom of God is not for wimps. And a lot of folks, you know, aren't Christian because they're too wimpy. I mean, anyone can cuss, they could get drunk or smoke weed and sleep around and live carnally and be a Satanist or a witch, but it takes a real man or woman to stand up in Jesus and stand up for Jesus and to be bold in God. Yeah, not everybody's willing to do that. They take a big old 10-pound Bible and walk around downtown one day and see what kind of looks you get, see? Or go kneel on a street corner and start praying like, what was it, the guy that had the orphanage, I forget, and he'd just get down on Reeves Howell, and then he'd get down on a corner and pray, the intercessor, I guess he called Reeves Howell the intercessor. You ever read that book, the interesting book? Yeah, but hey, in the final moments of the game, what happened? Hey, what's going on? Final moment, the coach comes. The coach always puts in his best available players. And notice I said best available because some of his best players are no longer available. Why? Because some of the best have fouled out. Some of the best have fallen away. Remember the five wise, the five foolish? They had no oil. They left before the end of the game. And they couldn't get in. So they weren't ready to meet the Lord. And some of the best, they got into sin. They played around with sin, and they expect to win the game, really. They expect to win in the end, and sometimes that sin will bite you pretty hard, or you get off course altogether sometimes. Some people don't turn back and ask God to forgive them for that, and they continue on down the course of darkness. Sin and the accompanying demons bring destruction and pain and ruin into people's lives, and we don't need that. We have enough of that when we fall into temptation rather than go out and do willful sin. Yeah. Numbers 32:23. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need more, Lord, more of you. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So these people are trying to hide it all and keep on being a secret life of sin and darkness. Remember what God is not looking though for talent and ability. He's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody that loves him and that will give their heart to him, and God will take care of you and change you. See, you're looking for a man with a heart after God or a woman with a heart after God. See? Yeah. He's looking for those who are going to run the race that's set before him as he empowers them and enables them. He's raising up a generation of his best players for the end of this whole scenario, this game, if you want to call it that. It's not a game. It's serious. And the coach saves his timeouts for the end of the game. Do you ever notice that? He doesn't use them all up in the beginning of the game. Right? I mean, how long left in the game today, you think? The wife goes and asks her husband that. How long the game, honey? 10 minutes, honey. 30 minutes later, honey, are you still watching that game? How long left now? 7 minutes. What? And then later, how many minutes now? 3 minutes. What? Because every play is important, and he takes players out to pep talk them and encourage them to win. And how many know that? We need some pep talk from the Word. We need to get in the Word of God in this hour. We need to be filled with the Word and filled with good teaching and the things of God in these final days. People better learn that they can't time out with Jesus. You better come aside with the coach, everybody, and say, okay, God, what is the game plan today? What's the game plan today? What do you want to do today? What's up, Jesus, today? What are we going to do? What are you going to do through me? What are you going to do with me today, Lord? And we need to have that kind of an attitude. Amen? Oh, yeah. It says in James 4, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Yeah. Cleanse your hands, he says, and purify your heart, you double-minded. So draw nigh to God, he's going to draw near to you. So draw near. Draw near. Amen. Oh, my. What a time we're living in, folks. What a time we're living in. Hey, if you don't take time out with Jesus, you're going to go out in that game and get yourself whooped by the enemy. Okay? Know these three things here, important things. It's the worst time to be alive. What do you mean it's the worst time to be alive, Pastor? Well, there's never been a day in human history more wicked than the day we live in. Well, how can that be? How can that be? Well, listen to me. Hear me out, and I'll explain. 2 Timothy, go over there, 3:1. You probably know what that says. You know your Bibles at all. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away from these folks. Okay? But this is what we're going to see in these latter days. People are ungrateful, unholy, without love. They love selfish pleasures more than God, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And if you're godly, you have power, and the power will draw people and set them free. See? But if you're godly, you have the power. But if you're not walking right there, you're not going to walk in the power of God. But these are hideous days, folks. Hideous, evil days. Evil days, such as mama killing her own baby. Both not only in the womb, but out of the womb. Abortion. I mean, some women, they murder their children. Remember that years ago, that mother drowned her own children, right? Yeah. And the daily abortion murders and the offering to Satan, the war, the crimes, the homosexuality, the perversion, the drugs, the alcohol, the adultery. Yeah, the betrayals. The pandemic, all this political power, the strife, the fighting, the divorce is rampant. But yes, I said but. Notice I said but. It's the worst time to be alive, but. Yeah. When everyone says but, when anybody says but, you can forget everything that was previously said, right? He said, I love you. You're the greatest, but. Well, get ready. When you get a letter like that, dear John Times, you're no longer my fiance, no longer my boyfriend, whatever. Yeah, I love you, and you're the greatest, but, yeah, you're my best friend, but, go ahead and walk away, right? It's over. You know, I think you're just wonderful, but, here it comes. Yeah, I appreciate what you did, but, there's something coming now. Get ready. This is the worst time in history that you could ever live, but it's also the greatest time to be alive. But when sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more abound. That's what the word said. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what? You know, it may be the worst, but it's also the best. God is never taken by surprise. You know, a lot of people are taken by surprise. We said, boy, I didn't see that coming. But, hey, God, he's not going to say that, right? He knew it was coming, and he's ready. He's going to pour out his spirit on his remnant people. He's never taken by surprise. The dark and evil day will not prevail on us, and it will not win. I mean, it may look bad now, but God is raising up champions who will step forward and defeat the enemy, put their foot on the neck of the enemy, and twist the enemy's neck off. I mean, usually they're not recognized until the battle is won, like Noah. You know, was he accepted by the community when he was out there building that ark? Well, they called him a fool, a fanatic, a weirdo. Noah, you're weird. He just kept preaching, repent and turn to God. Just kept preaching, turn from your wickedness, right? Turn from your wickedness. And the end of life as we've known it is coming. You better turn. A flood is coming, and nobody knew what a flood was, but he tried to describe it the best he could with what God showed him. And all will be destroyed. You will all be destroyed. Hello, wake up. Hello. And we're preaching too. The king is coming. Look out. You know, this wicked, wicked stuff is not going to prevail here in the end of all this. Right? A flood is coming. You'll all be destroyed. Hello, wake up. Okay, Noah speaks this day after day, week after week, month after month, while he works. And yet of all the people on the earth, it's because it was so wicked. They weren't mocking him. They were not listening to him. The demons had such control over the people of that day. That's right. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You think that the devil has so much control over people today? Oh, my, I just take a recap of this past week and all that went on this week. And you see the devil's all over. Their handprints are all over. Their fingerprints are all over this stuff. And then he finishes the boat after 100 years of preaching, and people call him a fool and call him all this stuff just foolishness and garbage, and the animals suddenly start coming. What? What's going on here? Are you starting to zoom up, Noah? Noah, you're strange. What are all these animals coming for? Noah was not recognized, see? He was not recognized as a champion until it was too late. See? And Jesus, too, they called him a lunatic. They called him possessed by devils. They just called him all kinds of things, actually. Try to kill him, get rid of him, do all these things. Right? They didn't recognize him. Oh, some did. But finally, I mean, there were a few that went with Noah, right? His son and their wife and his wife. There were a few. But finally, you know, we need to recognize this is the most intense time to be alive, too. See? It's very intense. And as that rain began to pour, things suddenly got very intense here. At the end of the game, things get very intense. And they would get very intense there as Noah, the water started rising and the angels closed the door of the ark and the people started pounding on the ark. Oh, Noah, you were right all along. Yeah, please open the door for us and let us in. Right, okay, not going to happen because I didn't close the door. The angel shut the door and sealed it. I can't open the door. Sorry, guys. You're probably screaming, oh, I wish I could help you, but I can't. But, you know, it was over then. It got very intense. And just like right now, it's the most intense time to be alive. It's the worst, it's the greatest, and it's the most intense. And the shorter the time gets, the more intense it's going to become, right? It's going to continue to get more intense. And folks, we're in the final moments of this the final moments of this. Yeah, we're getting ready. If we're not already in it, we're getting ready to get into it right away, the tribulation. We may already be in it. And folks, we're in the final moments of this thing. Every play counts. And God is separating the sheep from the goats. He's separating the champions from the chumps to tears or whatever. He's spilling his best. He is pulling his best players forward for this end time battle. You are no mistake being where you are right now. God put you there, okay? God has placed you there as his end time soldier, his end time prayer warrior, his end time prophet or prophetess. He placed you there to be bold as a lion. And you're not a mistake, okay? Yep. And you're going to be used by God if you make yourself available. Yeah, that's right. And so he pulled his best forward. It's time now to decide if you're going to be 100% committed, because the time is now. Are you going to be hot, cold, or lukewarm? I mean, this is a day of decision right now. Don't play games with God. He's looking for people who are going to be totally sold out for him and his kingdom. Is that going to be you or is it not going to be you? We don't play games with God. Okay? If you're complacent and wishy-washy and half-heartedly serving him, then listen, the battle's going to be too much for you, right? You'll fall out by the wayside. You won't be able to stand in a battle. No, you got to be single-minded. You got to set your face like a flint. You got to be determined. You're going to walk this walk to the end, and nobody's going to pull you off track. See, I tell you something. You were born for such a time as this. If you get serious with Jesus, with the Father, he'll get serious with you. Your life will count, and you can make a difference, and you will make a difference. That's right. Lift your voices up to him. That's right. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and half-heartedness, and ask him not to pass you by. Tell him you're available. Just say right now, if you want, if you mean it, just say, Lord, I'm available right now. I'm available for you to do what you want with me. I'm available for you to fill me up with your power. I'm available for your end time army, God. I'm available. But I'm telling you, just tell it to him. Speak it out. Let him know. Tell him your heart. But I tell you, before we finish this up tonight, I definitely need to talk to you about another part of this, because there are a lot of Christians that are in this area right now, and not this area physically in this state, but I'm talking about in this area in their mind, and we need to deal with this area, because this is warfare. And tonight we need to war for each individual in an area that is so subtle it sneaks in and takes ground before we're even aware that it has. This is an area that has given the enemy many advantages over God's people. Okay? So I want to talk about this here for the next few minutes here anyway. It's 2 Corinthians 2. Let's read verse 10 and 11 here. Is it to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sake, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Isn't it interesting here that the verse prior about Satan getting an advantage is about forgiveness? Do you think that maybe bitterness and forgiveness could maybe be a door for Satan to get an advantage over your life? You think that maybe that there's some, that it's not a coincidence that these two verses are back to back? You think so? Hey, I think there's something to this very important. We better look at this tonight, because we must take away the advantages given to the enemy through unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, and perhaps anger at God. Oh, yeah. A lot of Christians are angry at God. I remember a lady we one time had in our church. He was angry at God. Her son was out drinking and doing some things, and he got killed one night. And she blamed God. She was mad at him. She became an alcoholic after that. And I don't know, last I heard, I don't know if she's an alcoholic today, but last time I talked with her by phone from another state, she was still an alcoholic. And that is tragic, because she's blaming God for taking her son. Well, hey, we when you got open doors, you don't blame God for taking your son. The devil had a legal right to attack the son. Right? He was out there drinking and he wasn't right with God. And so, you know, the enemy had a legal right to get in there, open door, attack. And now she's blaming God. And it messed up her life too, see, because of that anger, that bitterness, that resentment toward God, that unforgiveness toward God. And we've probably all seen the destructive power of bitterness and unforgiveness at some point working openly in some people's life, or maybe even in your own life. But there's more hidden, there's much more hidden and evasive form of it, which remains hidden, especially from its victim. That's right. So my suggestion is ask the Lord to probe the inner depths of our souls and our hearts to reveal to us hindering and hidden things which block God's best in our lives. Have you done that? Yeah, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, a wicked thing in me. David, didn't he pray that prayer? There are things that can block God's best in your life. You know that, right? I mean, listen, this is not rocket science. I mean, it's the Word of God reveals these truths to us, but sometimes you have to dig for them. And there's nothing wrong with digging in the Word of God. In fact, we ought to be digging in the Word for more. Hebrews 12:15. It says here, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How can we fail of the grace of God? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You think that might be a way we can fail of the grace of God, a root of bitterness? Listen, by the time it has sprung up into the open, much damage has already been done. Yeah, it's been growing under the surface, man, for a long time. Fully undetected, perhaps. A lot of people that have a root of bitterness don't even know they have a root of bitterness. They just know they have some bitterness, or they know they have some unforgiveness or some anger towards someone or something or some situation or God. They may not know, see? They may not know. And so, listen, Lord, open up my heart to me, Lord. Let me see if there be something like that in there. The blood of Jesus. We don't want something like that undetected in us. We don't need that. Anger and resentment toward God repeatedly has surfaced as one of the biggest roots of the hidden bitterness, as we have seen in years of deliverance. Anger, resentment, oftentimes is a sign of hidden bitterness down in there. And we have to get to that too, you know. Have to get rid of that bitterness. Okay? Have to. It's poison. And we demand, why didn't you heal my father? Why didn't you save my marriage? Why didn't you save my mother? Why didn't you heal my body? God, why didn't you do this? Why did my child die, Lord? Why did I go broke? Why did I lose all my money? Why did I lose that job? Why did so-and-so come against me? And you blame God. It's not fair, and I'm mad at you, God. I stood on your word, and this is what happened. I was taught that if I stood on the word of God, it's obligated to do something for me, and you didn't do it, God. What's the matter here? I'm mad at you. See? And you may never say that out to another Christian, but inside something is saying that. See? That anger is seething away in there. You're blaming God. And that's what's dangerous. Going around blaming God. Being angry and not knowing, maybe you don't know the whole case of your anger, but you are. And maybe you do know. And you're in agreement with it. Exodus 15:23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter, right? Bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Amen. Yeah, so what are we talking about here? Important principles are illustrated in this, in these verses. They were unable to drink Marah's bitter water, and yet God led them to Marah. God led them to that place. They had walked, next thing we see, they walked through dry places for 3 days without water. A human can only endure 3 days without water, right? So they were in pretty bad shape. So we might be at the very edge of our human endurance. We might be at, oh, Lord, it's all I can take right now. You know, all we can take. And God has led us to that place. God has led us to that place. What do you mean? God led me to that place. Don't always so quickly say everything's the devil. Sometimes God may have allowed a certain situation to mature you and grow you up and deal with something in your life that's been hidden in there, like a bitterness or something, or unforgiveness. And we see next day here that God has really given them and us an opportunity to grow in faith and to strengthen us spiritually as he was them as well. See? And also to show how soon we forget past blessings when faced with the current difficulty. You ever do that? Panic when you get into a current difficulty, something very difficult, and you start panicking or you start freaking out or you start saying, where are you, God, and all that? Hey, we need to put ourselves and remember what Jesus has done, how he delivered us in the past. And he's going to deliver us again in Jesus' name. Amen. From every wicked work, Paul has said, as the Lord delivered me from every wicked work, you know, every wicked thing that had to come against him, and the Lord delivered him. The Lord will deliver us, too. And don't so quickly forget what he already has done for you, because he's done a lot for you, hasn't he? You put yourself in remembrance. Just think about all that God has done in your life so far. You say, well, he hasn't done nothing for me. Oh, well, you're not looking hard enough. Listen, if you're born again, there's lots of things that he's done for you. Lots of things that he's done for you, my friend. Brother, sister, listen. You start looking at your life and looking back over your life and begin to get rid of that negative mentality that you think with a lot of the time, and you start seeing all that the Lord has done for you. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So God wants to strengthen us spiritually so we'll be ready for these days that we're living in, folks. He's going to show us, you know, how soon have we forgotten these past blessings and all of these things he's done. The people responded wrongfully. What they did, they murmured, they whined, they complained. I mean, Chris, you're doing that today, whining and complaining. We've all done that. Every one of us here listening tonight, I'm sure, has done that at one time or another. We've whined, we've murmured, we've complained about the difficulty. But we need to remember, if he took care of us yesterday, he's going to take care of us today, too. Amen. Oh, yeah, if he did it yesterday, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, he's going to take care of us. He's going to see us through this difficulty, whatever it may be, see. And then they blame Moses, another common reaction called projection, right, throwing the blame on someone else. You think we have any of that going on in our society today, in the church and out of the church? There's a lot of projection going on. Well, it's the police fault. Well, it's the governor's fault. Yeah, it's this person's fault. Well, it's whatever, you know, blaming the parents, blaming somebody. It's the pastor's fault, you know. It's that brother over there's fault. It's that sister's fault. Yeah. On and on we go. Projection. Throwing the blame on somebody else, especially by slamming and accusing God's leaders. Yeah. They just open a door for attack through rebellion, see? Oh, yeah. And the next thing we see, the bitter waters were cured by the tossing a tree into the water to sweeten it. What is that tree speaking of? What do you think it's speaking of? It's speaking of the cross, right? Speaking of the cross. Amen. Make that which is bitter sweet. Hallelujah. It tossed the tree into the water to sweeten the tree of the type of the cross. Yeah, always the police. Yeah. Or it's always the non-police fault, right? Blaming the people are all like criminals to some policemen, right? Because they've just dealt with so many people that are just living full of devils, right? And they just look at everybody like a criminal because they just dealt with so many people full of devils and so many criminal minds and so many corrupt minds. I understand that mentality, you know, that even though I've not been a police, I've known police and I've had police in our church over the years in some of the places I've pastored. So, yeah, I can understand that to some degree, not having been one, but some degree. Anyway, moving on here. This is where we see the tree. Hallelujah. And the tree was thrown into the water. So we see on our own, it'll never work. Our way, it'll never work. Our way is not going to get us free of bitterness, nor will we come to a time when we feel like forgiving. Right? We don't feel like it. No, it's a waste to wait for what will never come. You know, all people are going to have to come to the cross to face that fact. Say something like, I confess, I'm wrong and you're right, Lord. Maybe we should all say that right now. Lord, I confess I've been wrong, Lord, and you're right. And I now release any bitterness that I'm holding toward you or anyone else. I hate it. It's evil, and I renounce it in Jesus' name. Just say it out loud. That's right. Amen. Just say it out loud. I confess I'm wrong. You're right, Lord. I now release this any bitterness that I'm holding toward you. This bitterness that I'm holding toward you or anyone else, this unforgiveness, and I hate it, and I renounce it, and I reject it in Jesus' name. That's right. The tree brings healing, folks. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen, brother. Amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Biblical healing is revealed also here at the place of bitter waters. God revealed his name. Notice he revealed his name as Jehovah Rapha. What does Jehovah Rapha mean? So we see here there's a definite link between bitterness and sickness. He's the Lord our healer, Jehovah Rapha. So we see that the link here. And so a lot of people who are angry and bitter and unforgiving, they pick up sicknesses very easily. Demonic spirits that make them sick. Behind many sicknesses, look for that primary root of bitterness in there and unforgiveness and anger. And it may even be passed down generationally, you know. It could be. Okay, look at verse 27, Exodus 15, verse 27. And they came to Elim where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Wow. You know, God wants to bring us to the waters. To the waters. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, once you've cleansed bitterness, God will bring you from the place of bitterness and sickness to his oasis, right? To his Elim. Yeah, he'll bring us there. And I meant to read verse 26 there for the healing. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He's the Lord that healeth thee. There's healing when we deal sometimes, is when we deal with these bitterness and unforgiveness areas of life and get rid of those demons. And then once we're cleansed from deliverance, then God brings you that oasis, his oasis of love, his waters. Elim means an oasis in the desert, an oasis on the in the desert. Maybe right now you need to come to your oasis in the desert. You've been wandering around in a wilderness, in a hot and dry place out there. We're carrying that something around that's been eating you up, messing you up, and you need to come to your place of oasis, right? Yeah, what are you doing here? You know, why am I wandering around out in this little dry desert when I could be sitting at that oasis and feeding on the living water? And filled up with Jesus today. What am I doing out here? You know, when do we ever stop and face some of these things and wonder, what? You know, like a prodigal son, he's out there and he says, oh, what am I doing out here with these pigs? if I go and just become a hired servant to my father, better than this garbage that I'm out here living in right now. Some of God's people need to be having a personal awakening, right? Yeah. Have a personal awakening to themselves. Lord, I just need to face me. I need to look at myself here. Look at what's wrong here in my own life here. Instead of looking at everybody else and pointing my fingers all the time. I mean, that's easy to do. We all like to do that. We kind of feel better about that, picking somebody else and pointing our fingers at them. But, you know, that's not working to work in us. That's not how God works in us, by us pointing fingers at somebody else. Amen? Oh, yeah. Let's go by Elam. Let's get rid of this stuff. Let's go to the oasis in the desert. Let's find that place out here in this land of the pandemic here in God. There's a place in Jesus. There's a place in God. There's a place of refuge in our Lord and Savior. We got a place to go. But we got to deal with that unforgiveness and the bitterness there. We got to renounce it. We got to get out of agreement with it. We got to get the demons out. We'll cast those demons out tonight. We'll call them out. You got to be ready to get them out. So I ask you tonight, are you ready to get out those spirits if you have them? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But there's a whole lot of things going on in our lives that we're often not aware of. And the Spirit of God, as we are able, you know, a lot of times we're just simply not able to face these things. We're just simply not able to look at our own selves and say, oh, yeah, I see that, Lord. And maybe I have to bring us through some more things and some more spiritual growth until we actually come to a place that we're ready, right? Oh, yeah. Decisions. We got to make them every day, right? We need to make them every day. Some of them are big ones, some of them are little ones, and some are in between. But the decisions we make will often chart the course of your life. Right? And what do circumstances have to do with decision making? Well, sometimes they have a lot. Sometimes they have a little, and sometimes none at all. But still, don't make decisions based on your circumstances alone. Because too many Christians have done that. And they've gotten themselves off course. Yeah, we've all probably done that at one time or another. So often something happens and we think, wow, that must be God. So I'm all in for it. And it's not God at all. But simply life circumstances set up by the devil. And too often we judge an opportunity by its appearance. And it looks good, then we assume it must be God. Everything that looks good may not be God, right? Everything that looks good might not be God. Oh, yeah. How many times has that been the case? There's some good-looking people out there, but they sure may not be God for you, right? Handsome men and good-looking women, but you know, you're married. Wait a minute. What are you doing? It's not God's will. It's a snare for your soul. It caused you to be in a bad way here. So, can't base things on just the physical evidence. But when judged by Scripture, see, then these things will fail. They're not going to stand when you judge these things by Scripture. Yeah, I remember way back when I remember a certain Jessica Hahn was praying what to do after Jim Baker fell from his place. That was years ago when he fell into this Jessica Hahn thing. And Jessica Hahn was supposedly praying what to do after being caught with old Jim. And soon after her prayer, a popular porno magazine offered her a large sum of money to pose nude in the magazine. Well, afterwards she commented that she had prayed to God and asked for a miracle, and when the magazine called her the next day, she said that was her miracle. See, that doesn't line up even with the Word of God at all. No. Not if you really test it by the Word of God. It doesn't line up. But see, this is what people do sometimes. Because maybe it's because that's just what they want to do, see? And they base things on things that the devil could set them up with. How many of you ever been set up with something like that, see? Yeah. Oh, yeah. God can use circumstances in seemingly contradictory ways, you know. Some people say all doors were open, so I walked through, but then they fell into holes in the floor on the other side of a door. Other people say, well, all doors were closed, so I knew it wasn't God. But, hey, sometimes God wants us to kick in the door and walk on through. You ever think about that? Because if God said you're going through there, you got to go through there, and it takes some spiritual warfare to get through there sometimes. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that woman, she judged it all on financial, circumstantial evidence, right? But when judged by the scripture, it failed. And also, so many times the circumstances speak to us, and other times God wants us to speak to the circumstances. Like if there's unforgiveness and there's something bitterness in your life, you need to start speaking to those circumstances. We need to learn the discernment to know how to respond to circumstances in our lives. Because I tell you, sometimes we just simply responding to the circumstance set up by the demon. See, God can use storms in the lives of the righteous to accomplish his purposes. I remember Paul, you know, out there, the boat sank and he was shipwrecked, but he didn't die. He, after he escaped the storm, another storm came, right? The serpent grabbed a hold of his hand and grabbed hold, and yeah, he shook it right off in the, you know, into the fire. Any deadly thing, you know, they snake bite me, not going to kill me, and threw it off into the fire. He believed the word. And it sure looked like God was out to get Paul, right? Snake bite, you know, snake bite. Surely he had it in for him. And he must have had sin in his bite, in his life. Now, that's what the natives probably thought there, because they thought surely this man was a sinner, escaped the sea only to die by a snake. But Paul was right where God wanted him. You know that? Paul was right where God wanted him. And sometimes, you know, we think we're not where God wants us, and we're right where God wants us, right in the middle of what looked like a storm. But, hey, God's going to see that storm through and deliver us out of that storm. See? And as a result of all this seemingly negative circumstances, he healed sick and he preached the gospel to the whole island. Yeah, awesome, wasn't it? And God may use circumstances to save us from future destruction, too. Events may go wrong because we've been moving further and further away from God's best for our life. Or as our plans fall apart, we may become enraged at the very circumstance saving us from destruction because we recognize the enemy in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And hey, a broken relationship, a broken friendship, a lost promotion, a changed job, a different place to live, they may be acts of mercy. It may not always be something bad. See, it may be an act of mercy. And God may use circumstances to get our attention. Jimmy Swagger, many years ago, remember, he was warned many times by circumstances. But even James Robinson went to him and told him, you got a bunch of lust devils in you and you need to get deliverance. And of course, he didn't believe a Christian could have a demon, so he didn't get delivered, and ministry's been smaller ever since then. But anyway, God's more interested in maturing us than he is in delivering us from difficult circumstances. And he will deliver us from them, but he wants to mature us in the process of all things. See, sometimes God allows us to be thrown into a fiery furnace like this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That might be a part of God's way of maturing us and exalting himself. So many Christians think if anything bad happened, well, God has removed his blessing from me and I'm cursed now. Or we're in sin, or we have no faith. Or, you know, let's put God in a box, folks. Let's put God, you know, we're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in sin. No. But they still went to the fiery furnace, didn't they? Oh, yeah. They sure went in there. if it came out too, and they come out victorious, right? They come out on the other side of that fiery furnace, God was exalted, and they were lifted up, because many times when God's exalted, He'll exalt you too. You ever think about that? If God gets exalted in something, He's going to exalt you too. He uses you to be exalted, and He'll exalt you. But let God do it. Let's not exalt ourselves. Amen. I don't want to put God in a box, folks. I don't want to put God in a box. They still went to the fiery furnace, though. And listen, God's purposes may be greater personal circumstances. Yeah, His purposes. And we want to be in God's purpose. You know the story. God chose to deliver them in the furnace, not out of it. You know, that's the sign of the time, kind of the way it is now. God brings you through the fire, through the trouble, through the tribulation, not out in some secret rapture, you know. Amen. Amen. He's going to deliver you through all this stuff and from it too, I know. But you'd be in a lot of it before you get delivered. Sometimes you have to be in a bad situation before you get delivered out of the bad situation. Because somehow the enemy pulled you into it, but then God is glorified, and out you come to the glory of the Lord. God will do great and mighty things for His people because He loves us. Well, let's keep looking to Jesus, folks. We're living in the latter days, but we want to keep our eyes on Him. Amen? Amen. Well, this is where we're going to stop here tonight. I've certainly shared enough stuff with you tonight. Dumped a big load of good stuff on you. So, Father, we thank You for these words of life and these words of victory over the enemy and these words of exposing the enemy. And so that we might walk in the way that You'd have us to walk in this time and season that we're living in today, in these latter days. And that we might be in a position where You can make what You want out of us and use us however You want to use us in these latter days, and that we might recognize that we can keep the enemy where he belongs, under our feet. So if we just put the devil under our feet right now in Jesus' name, and we'll cut his neck off, just like Joshua said to his captain to go, you know, to cut the neck. Don't be afraid to cut the neck off these wicked pagan heathen kings of these countries that we went to war with. And he did. He sliced the head off. And we will cut the head of the serpent off. We're going to bruise his head, knock his head off in Jesus' name for the glory of God. And Father, we thank You for the grace we need to walk in these days. Lord, that we remember that we're in grace and we have abundance of grace, Lord. And not forget these things, Lord. If it's in the heat of the battle sometimes, we feel like we're just not going to make it. We feel like, where are You, Lord? And it seems too overwhelming at times. But we know that You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us, and You would cause us to triumph in all things, Father. But we thank You for that triumphant life, Father, over these different things that the enemy throws in our lives from time to time as we walk the walk of faith and stay on the straight and narrow throughout these years which we're living in. So, Lord, we trust in You with all our heart. We ask You to just continue to bless us and cause us to live in that abundant life, Father, that You have for us. You said, I'm coming. You might have life, and You might have it more abundantly, Lord. Lord, I thank You that we're walking in that abundant life. I thank You that we have the favor of God on us, Lord, tonight, and that we will walk in the favor of God as well, Father. In Jesus' name. We thank You for surrounding each one of us with a hedge of protection. We thank You that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We thank You that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're blessed going in and we're blessed coming out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. And the blessing of the Lord make it rich and add us no sorrow, Father. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name, and we give You all the praise and glory for it. Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and take an intermission here, then we'll come back and do some deliverance for a while. Amen. As we have some time here before the end of the broadcast to do that. Again, last week we did not have internet on Friday evening, and we knew that was going to be down for a few days as we were in the process of doing some things that we had to get done. So anyway, that's done now. And we're going to use this new internet provider here that we're using tonight. And so we're back, and we will see you again next week. But first, we're going to do some deliverance and just declare that we are the righteous and be bold as a lion in this time of the end. And don't let the enemy intimidate you, because he sure has a lot of evil servants out there that will try to intimidate you in life. And don't let him intimidate you. Just march on strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And don't give place to the enemy. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, okay. I'm going to just take a little intermission here. And then we will come back. And then we will do some deliverance for a little while. If that's all right with you guys, that's what we're going to do. All right.
ground, yes. It's battleground, yes. Oh, it's battleground, yes. Just make your luck away.
Hey, man. All right, let's get into some deliverance here tonight as we finish up the broadcast for the evening. We got about 24 minutes left where we could do some deliverance. How about doing some? Let's go ahead and deal with these unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger first and foremost, because we don't want those in the way of anything. If we have any of those spirits, let's get them out tonight in Jesus' name. We just break the curses of anger, being angry at different things, having a short temper. We break of generational curses in the name of Jesus, passed down generationally through the family lineage, through the bloodline curse. We break the curses right now of anger, rage and anger. Come out of there right now. In the name of Jesus, we cancel your assignment and cast out those spirits of rage and anger in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. Anger at God, just anger, just having anger because of rejection or other reasons, come out. All that anger, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. If you have rejection, you usually have anger, right? Because rejected people are angry at being rejected. They don't know why, but they're angry. And it's because of rejection. Come out, all that anger, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name, all anger, rage, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you, break your hold over people. I apply the blood of Jesus against you right now and cast out devils in Jesus' name. Come out anger, come out rage, come out anger, come out anger at God, come out, come out, come out, just anger at people. Somebody just walk around mad at people all the time. You come out. All that anger at people. I had enough of these crazy people or whatever. You know, they're just demonized people. They can't help it. They're just doing what lost people do. Yeah. And so you got to realize we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wicked spirits and rulers of the darkness of this world and all that stuff. But, hey, our battle is with them, and they control a lot of the people out there, see? So all that anger go, anger at people, come out, 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 come out. Anger at people that you just don't get it, the people that are just, you know, willfully ignorant. All that go in Jesus' name. Anger at ignorant people, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 out, 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 out. Everybody cough a few times, get those spirits moving all the way, all the way. All that anger, go in Jesus' name. All that unforgiving spirit, you go. Come out in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, you come out. Unforgiveness toward relatives, toward mothers or daddies or children, come out. All that unforgiveness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Some of you had harsh parents, mean daddies or mean mommies, and yeah, they hurt you, and so we just forgive them in Jesus' name. Some of you have passive parents that wouldn't discipline you, and you turned out in a way that wasn't so good. I had to go through a lot to eat before you even got saved. And so we forgive them for being passive and not doing what the Bible says, obeying God and disciplining their children. And so we forgive that as well, Father, in Jesus' name. And so command those unforgiving spirits to come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Let them go. Breathe them out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. All that unforgiveness, all that root of bitterness too. You come out. Root of bitterness. We bind that root of bitterness in there. You come out. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. Any root of bitterness is springing up, poison others, and causes unbelief to be in there and all manner of evil to take place. We just command that spirit of bitterness to come out. Go, 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 go. Out, 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 out. All the way out. Come out, bitterness. Come out, bitterness, in the name of Jesus right now. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out now, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to loose people and let them go. All those bitterness spirits, go. In Jesus' name, we break the curses of rebellion and we renounce the spirit of rebellion too. You come out. All those spirits of rebellion, come out. Jesus' name, rebellion. Who refuses to yield to God and authority, come out of there. All that rebellious spirit, come out now. Come out now. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out, rebellious spirit. The Lord rebuke you, you rebellious spirits. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come all the way out now. In Jesus' name. All those rebellious spirits, go, go. Spirit of rebellion. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come on out, all the way. We bind you, we break your hold, we break your hold, we bind you up in chains and cast you out. Come out, come out of there right now. You loose them and let them go. Be weakened by the blood and come out. All that rebellion, come out. We break those curses of rebellion passed down generationally. Come out, come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, this hardness of heart spirit, try to make your heart hard. You come out of there, go right now, all the way out, come out. That hardness of heart, got to make people's heart hard. You come out, come out, come out, come out, come out now, all the way out, hardness of heart. Come out, all that hardness, come out. Got to make you hard, hard toward others, hard toward God, hard toward all these different people out there. And we break that hardness curse over you in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out now, all the way out in Jesus' name. All that hardness, go in Jesus' name. All that oversensitive spirit. Some people have that oversensitive spirit that's just so oversensitive about everything, and always examining themselves, always condemning themselves. I've sinned so much, and they're oversensitive to everything. Is a sin, everything's the devil, everything's bad, they're just oversensitive to things. They're oversensitive. Oh, they're talking about me behind my back, they're out to get me, and all this different. They could be other spirits too, but that's one of them that does that. Come out of there, oversensitive spirit. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Lucifer, let them go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out now. All the way. All the way. All the way. All that oversensitive spirit. Come out. Always thinking you've done wrong. Always examining yourself like, oh, I must have offended God. I must have done wrong. I must have sinned. And when you didn't, but you know, that oversensitive spirit's always got you feeling like you have. Come out, all the way out, in the name of Jesus, all the way up out of there. All that delusion, that spirit of delusion, be self-deluded. Come out, come out, all the way out. All that delusion, you come out in Jesus' name. You have to go all the way out. All that spirit of delusion, you go, go, move, move, in Jesus' name, move, all the way out, all the way out. All the way up out of there, being deluded, self-deluded, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that false personality, you come out. Have a false personality. Someone, there's another personality kicks in. Come out. Some call it dissociative disorder, but, you know, it's a demon personality that kicks in sometimes, and you act in a way that's not the normal way you act, and it's a different personality embedded within you. It's a demon, but they call them alters and part of you. Some people that do this do, but I tend to believe that they're just demons, that are different personality demons that try to take over and be a part. You know, some people have 6 or 7 different alters and different personalities that kick in at different times in their life, and they're weak even. Come out, all the way out. Go, go. All this false personality, the demonic personality that kicks in and try to take over and have the dominance, and then another one kick in. Come out, all that false personality. Go, 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 go. Out, 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 out. all the way out. Come out. Come out. We break your hold. We break the inherited curse of false personalities. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Go out. Come out. Come all the way out. That false personality. Go. Go all the way up out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. Keep moving all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. All that first false personality. Keep moving out all the way out. All that, all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. In Jesus' name. And you could be totally you, totally single-minded, not have three or four different minds. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go all the way out. All the way out. Just all the way up out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of blindness. Come out, blindness. In Jesus' name. All that spirit that blinds you to truth. Spirit tried to blind your eyes to truth and things that are true and reality. Come out right now. Go, go. All that spirit of blindness. Go, 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 go. All the way out in the name of Jesus. You have to go. Go all the way out. In Jesus' name, go. All that spirit of blindness, come out. Come out all the way out. All that spirit of impatience. We break the curse of impatience. Want it now. You like the, everything, the microwave society we live in. You want it now. You can't wait. You can't wait. It's got to happen right away. Or you're just down about things and your mood's manipulated by impatience. Come out. All that impatience, go. Come out. 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 Come out, impatience, all the way out. That impatient spirit, I bind you. You come out right now, all the way out. All that impatience, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Up and out of there, that spirit of impatience, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In the name of Jesus right now, you have to go, every bit of it. Move up out of there. Move, 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 and keep moving. I bind you. I break your hold. I break your control over the people. In Jesus' name, the gluttony spirit, the overeating spirit, the self-reward. Oh, I deserve a reward. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Self-reward, overeating, gluttony. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Overeating. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All that overeating. All that gluttony, come out. Can't stop eating. Come on, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Just eating to be eating because you like it. Come out, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And you keep gaining weight, gaining weight, gaining weight. But come out of it, all the way out. All that food addiction to sugar, come out. Come on, addiction to sugar. Come out now in the name of Jesus right now. Lose them. And let them go. Sugar addiction. Addiction to sweets. Come out. 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 Sugar addiction. We're talking to you. Yeah, some people don't know when to stop drinking pop, eating candy bars, cake, and ice cream. Come out. All the way out. They just got to keep eating, and the body, their immune system is weakened by the sugar. Come out. All the way out. Come up out of there right now. Go. Addiction to sugar. All the way out. Addiction to junk food. Come out. Come out. That self-destruction spirit. Yeah, well, that's what you got going on. That's where you eat all the time. Self-destruction. You come out. We break the curse of self-destructive spirits that are trying to destroy you physically by a bad eating habit. Come out. Self-destruction. Go. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. All that self-destructive spirit, come out, all the way out, up and out. Sometimes self-destruction comes in through child abuse, too. You're abused as a child. We break that curse of abuse and command that abuse spirit to come out right now. Come out, abuse. We break your power. We apply the blood of Jesus against you. Angels go in and sword those demons right now of abuse. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Sword them, sword them, sword them in Jesus' name. Sword those demons of self of abuse, parental abuse, abuse at school, abuse by relatives, all that abuse. You have to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out abuse right now. I bind that abuse in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All that spirit of abuse, you go in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out. Go, abuse, and it causes self-destructive ways in your life. And you don't need that. And we just break the power of that abuse. We break the power of food addiction, sugar. Come out in Jesus' name. Soda pop, sugar. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Move, 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 move. All the way out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus. Any spirit lodged in your back pain, pain in your back, you come out of there. We apply the blood of Jesus over your spinal column, your back, your lower back. You come out of the back right now. Back pain. Come out. Come out. Come out. The spirit lodged in your back. Come out of your back right now. Come out. Come out. Take a few coughs. Let them go. All the way. Just take a few coughs. Get that spirit out of there. Get them moving. Come out. Spirit lodged in your back. Come out. Come out of the back right now. You move in Jesus' name. We command you to move in the name of Jesus. Move up out of the spine. Move up out of the lower back. Move out of the sides and the and all the joints, get out of there. In Jesus' name, all the spirits that lodge to cause pain in your back, in your neck, in Jesus' name, come out of there. It's a tension and pain, come out. Tension and pain, come out. Arthritis, we break the curse of arthritis in the joints, come out. All that arthritis, come out, come out, come out. The deterioration of the disc, we bind you, come out of those discs. We bind you, get out of the back disc in your spine. Get out, all the way out. Deteriorating body, we come against you. The spirit that is sent to deteriorate the body and wear it out and make it old before its time, you come out, all the way out. That aging spirit, come out. Aging spirit, come out now, all the way out. That aging spirit trying to cause you to age prematurely, come out. Come out, come out, that aging spirit. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. All the way out. Go, in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, those aging spirits. We are talking to you, devil. And you have to obey. You have to go in the name of Jesus Christ right now. In Jesus' name, we address you. You have to come out all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, 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 up and out, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name. Go, go, keep going, all the way out. Arthritis, you go right now, move in the name of Jesus. All that arthritis, go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Claustrophobia, you come out. They've been enclosed in places that bothers you, you come out. That's a demon. Come out. Claustrophobia, come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of claustrophobia. Come out. Come out now in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus, you loose them and let them go. All that claustrophobia. You come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out. Claustrophobia. In Jesus' name. Trauma. Come out. All the way out. All the trauma. Maybe you were locked in a closed room, a small room, a dark room when you were a child, and you picked up the claustrophobia or trauma. So come out, trauma. Come out. Claustrophobia. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. Or fear of height, fear, afraid, going up high buildings. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear of height, you have to go all the way out. Everybody cough through time. Get it out. All the way out. Fear of height. Get them going all the way out. All that fear of height in Jesus' name. All the way out, 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 out of there. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, you loosen and let them go. Up and out. Up and out. Loneliness, you come out. Loneliness. All that loneliness. Jesus' name, feeling like you're all alone, feeling lonely at times, if there's nobody there for you to talk to in life, come out, that spirit of loneliness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, come out, loneliness, spirits of loneliness, in Jesus' name, you have to go all the way out, all the way out, keep going, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, yes, all the way out. When the spirit's gone, you can go to church and find some friends at a church. If you can find a church to go to that's not all totally messed up. See, everybody has, I mean, there's no perfect church, right? This is the moment a person walks in the door, it's not perfect anymore, right? So, right, so yeah, there's some better than average churches out there. So you have to sometimes hunt for them, and most people don't feel like they have the energy to go out and do that, but. But if you're lonely and you want to make friends, the church is a good place to do that. I know it's hard to find them that don't believe in the pre-trib rapture too, but they're out there. There's a few out there like that in different places of the country. So, hallelujah. Father, seal this deliverance to the saints of God tonight. We thank you for the time and deliverance. We thank you for moving here tonight, Father, delivering people from these spirits that we called out in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless every listener, Father. And we thank you that you're going to encourage them. And, Lord, give them a blessed holiday weekend, Lord, as they have a three-day weekend. Some people, they get to do different things that they couldn't normally do because they have an extra day off, go camping or enjoy family time or whatever. I don't know. But, Lord, just bless their weekend and protect them and minister to them and help them be refreshed if possible in this weekend. Father, we praise you for it. Thank you for the program tonight. Thank you for being here with us and just blessing the program and speaking and ministering, Father, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, folks, I appreciate being with you tonight. Smaller crowd than some nights because of that holiday, I imagine, but I'm glad you were here, and the Lord bless you. And we will see you back next week, same time. All right, good night, folks.
Without your love, I'd rather be with the one I know will always be with me than have the throne of a king. 'Cause it would be nothing more than just a handful of nothing compared to all your love can bring. And I know that someday when
good night, folks. And again, thanks for being here. We love you and appreciate each of you. And you have just a blessed evening here. Bye-bye now.